cease and desist.
The sum of it.
Talk about it in 5 minutes.
Right. Like, wait, child.
I can't wait.
Another fabulous episode of Geeks at the Square Table, where we are already hot into discussion.
Isn't it a fabulous
episode? Great episode.
Okay, so with me today, I am your host, Lawrence of America, still filling in for Jules and his broken equipment.
Which we're still using today. My mic, by the way. Some of my equipment attributes to this podcast.
His mic is better than my...
That's right. My mic is superior.
My tried and true Nashville stage mic.
This is what happens when you get a big mic to overcompensate.
Amazon. All right, anyway, let's try to get
this
in
the
multiple directions.
So, anyway, the new and improved, the Supreme B-Man.
Taylor.
Gomer.
Jules.
Jesse.
David.
That's
basically. All right. Is B-Man not to get talked to him himself?
No, no, I'm great.
B-Man.
No,
you have to introduce him.
B-Man says it's fine. He's fine.
It's in his contract that he has to be introduced.
Okay, I didn't realize that was his choice. I thought we were kind of signing him there.
No. We had to sign some stuff.
Wait, we have to introduce him. So where are we exactly? I'm not sure if we...
We are at Comic City 2 in Madison, Tennessee.
Son of Maddie.
It's been a while.
It's been a while since we did the old Son of Maddie thing.
And I missed it. Just because we can't let Jules get it in too often, let's go ahead and say it.
Good night away.
Oh,
jeez. Oh, that's so annoying.
Yeah.
Because the last 2 weeks they missed out, and I got through first.
You got it last week.
Well, she was still at right.
So we were all being nice.
For the record, this is episode 25. All right.
We're talking about Oscars.
Yes,
where do you start in that little ramble?
Now, here's what I was saying. Usually they say best pictures won by someone that has low graphics, low special effects. I was saying that I think best picture should usually be won by the best screenplay, because the one thing you can't make up for is bad writing.
Agreed.
You can get by the bad acting if it's a good story, bad special effects, nothing. If it's a bad story, it doesn't matter how good the actors are, how pretty it is.
I agree.
Well,
I agree.
I take a step back from that. I'd say it has to be won by someone who is at least nominated for best screenplay.
Yes.
Because I think it is important to say that best picture is, I guess, theoretically supposed to be the one that's better than the sum of its parts.
Right.
It's the one that has a great screenplay, great acting, great directing.
Man, that sounds like
great visual effects.
I was saying,
hold on.
That's why he gets me. He's like, why don't you just say it in 5 minutes and then says it before I say it?
Well, no, I'm saying it more eloquently.
You did say it more eloquently.
I'm not screaming at the goddamn mic.
I was screaming.
Bam! Let's drop the curse words right off the bat.
My whole thing about it. Well, by the way, I'm gonna let everybody know. So my father is Catholic, so I do the few things that I do that are Catholic is Lent.
And
I
drop that bomb.
Oh, yeah.
And I decided for Lent. By the way, happy Ash Wednesday.
Catholicism for Lent?
Yeah. No, I give up my unfortunate language, which I use very often.
Awesome.
I
couldn't do this.
So good. Let's see how long.
All right.
I've got
to make it to the end of the podcast.
No, a new goal.
No cussing.
No cussing.
40
days. 40 nights. Jules will not be cussing.
Oh, this is going to be so good.
Oh,
wait till the
man.
Night, man.
Now, that does not
yeah,
mean
no,
that
we
awesome.
Are going to throw surprises at everything.
Awesome.
I wish you luck. If your faith isn't tested, what good is your faith?
Exactly. Wow. Exactly.
Well, if your faith
not even my faith, it's my father's
faith. Tested, it's not faith.
We're just trying to make you a better Christian, man.
But I'm not. I just, that's one of the few
I'm
things.
I'm Jewish.
Yeah. It's one of the few things I appreciate about Catholicism is the 40 days and 40 nights of you trying
to
stop.
Dude, there are so many
something.
Cool parts of Catholicism. Why are you picking that one?
We already dealt with the Oscars,
without Lent, there would be no Mardi Gras. Without Ash Wednesday, there would be no Fat Tuesday.
That's theoretically the point,
yeah. Okay. And two,
good point. Okay.
We do a podcast, and I really should clean up my language.
Yes,
more.
I
so
agree.
So it was the other thing that I did for the benefit of the podcast. Because way too much.
Keep telling yourself.
You're not the only one, though. I acknowledge that I'm as bad, if not worse, than you.
I agree with that. To be honest, the GD is the only one that actually bugs me just saying that to
him. Okay. I'll stick to F-bombs, then.
All right. F-bombs all day long.
He knew he was going to blow.
Okay.
Just, you know,
I consider myself a little bit religious as well, spiritual.
Finding out new things about Larry.
Yeah, so,
awesome.
So that's like the one thing you can't say
in my house.
Oh, nice.
You can cuss all you want.
But going back to what we were talking about.
C-word, about the Oscars.
Yeah, talking about the Oscars.
No GD.
Right.
Shut up, Gomer. Anyway.
Okay. Going back to the Oscars, speaking of language, I think best original screenplay should win best motion picture.
Every time?
Not every time. Okay.
Well,
they should go hand in hand.
Well, credit where credit's due. I do agree with Gomer on this one. That it should be the one that combines all the things to the best of its ability.
And what movie did that?
Her. I think it had. I think you felt the presence of the director.
Where was the special effects in Her?
All over the place. Were they? Yeah, there were. There were subtle special effects in the video games
subtle,
you played.
Subtle.
No, you should
effects.
Watch it.
Gravity takes the special effects, puts them in a nice little ball, but shoves it up your ass.
And if you take the effects, say that Iron Man 3 had the better special effects.
Yes, it did. And if you take the special effects away from Gravity, it's not a great film.
Okay.
If you can take the special away,
but if you take aspects of any of these movies that made them worthy enough to even be nominated, then they are not worthy.
I need stronger
action. Jules has a point,
here,
I think,
here,
there.
For those
where...
that didn't watch it, the list of nominees for Best Picture were American Hustle.
Great film.
Captain Phillips.
Okay.
Awesome. Dallas Buyer Club.
Awesome.
Phenomenal.
Gravity.
Yep.
Her. Okay.
Terrific.
Nebraska and Philomena. Has that even came out yet?
Yeah. Philomena is not out on DVD
and,
yet.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I'm actually going to see it tomorrow.
12 Years a Slave.
Yes.
Now that's a good one.
I'll be watching 12 Years a Slave.
Those are all worthy contenders.
Nebraska probably tonight.
And I only saw Captain Phillips.
I saw Captain Phillips. It's good.
I gotta say, though, American Hustle felt like it got slighted, not winning anything.
Yeah, and here's my whole thing about 12 Years a Slave.
Oh, now, and Wolf on Wall Street was also done.
Oh, yeah. And that definitely should have won something.
Wolf of Wall Street.
So I feel like I did myself a disservice by reading the book before I saw 12 Years a Slave. The book is very powerful, very moving book. And by reading the book, I got more out of it than... Because when you see the movie, they're literally taking 12 years and putting it in a three-hour film.
Yeah.
They really short you on the really good emotional, and they give you all the very intense
Well, that's the shortcoming of movies. Yeah. That's one of the weaknesses that a movie has, is that
it's
limited
by a true story.
Yeah, no, it's,
like
it's
that,
a true story.
Very true story.
It's based on a book that a former slave wrote.
It was his autobiography.
It was his autobiography. Yeah. So it's a very powerful book. And you see the
kidnapped
movie.
From the north and thrown into slavery in the south, even though he was a free man.
Yeah.
Very powerful story.
Very powerful story.
It should be told.
Yes, it was a
but
very
but that doesn't mean it's the best picture.
And here's my problem with it. I watched the movie. I'm not going to say it wasn't a great movie. It was a great, powerful movie. Story needed to be told.
12 Years a Slave.
12 Years a Slave. Phenomenal film. My problem with it is I could have seen that as a stage play and gotten the same amount I got out of it. I didn't feel like it needed to be a movie, per se.
Well, that's a good point. I mean, that's the whole point of the Oscars is
yeah.
the best movie. And a movie and a play should be two very different things.
The acting, it destroys. It's phenomenal acting. The cast completely sold me on the entire film.
Yeah.
From a book that is very powerful, I was moved once again hearing the story again. But that was the acting. I didn't feel the directing was very... It was almost non-existent.
Now,
I felt like it was a great story, but I wouldn't call the picture phenomenal. I would say it was great story, great acting, but
thing.
I didn't feel like the cinematography was incredible. I didn't feel like the director did anything. The editor probably did some things, but I mean overall,
the writing
and the cast make that movie. But I'm missing a good director. I'm missing a good cinematographer, and I'm missing great editing. And that's, to me, things that make up a great picture.
So the one that
the
did win, why do you think it should not have won?
I don't think it should have won.
You've explained why you thought the one that did win should not win. Why do you think that Her deserved it over...
I think it was a great screenplay. It was a more original commentary.
Well, what did it have that 12 Years a Slave didn't have? Because I've already said Gravity had everything. Everything was top-notch in Gravity. It was!
It was okay.
No, it was...
It was an entertaining
was
picture. Most best pictures are the kind of pictures I watch.
It was not just an entertaining movie. It was an experience at the theater that was completely different than anything that had ever come before.
Here's my thing.
Completely different.
And I'll give the Academy. There's usually good about this.
The genre that much.
Does originality necessarily mean it's the best thing ever, though?
No, of course not. I'm talking about the experience. It's not technically originality in storytelling or anything.
It's the accumulation
of every aspect that made the movie was greater than, like you said, the sum of those parts were greater than what they were. You said it more eloquently.
You did.
I usually do.
With Her, it was like this. There's something about a nice, subtle commentary about the way we live our lives now.
Yeah.
A movie where you think about what you're doing after you watch the film. Her was that film where I thought a lot about, and I know people who date people on the internet.
Yeah.
And it's basically a commentary on the fact
that... On catfish.
Yeah. It's like, it says a lot about how easy we make it to be to have a relationship without actually dealing with the problems of a relationship.
Yeah.
And it's a lot about how humanity's growing with technology, and our love for technology is superseding the relationships we have with one another. All while you get a full performance out of Scarlett Johansson without seeing it, her, at all.
I'm probably one of the few people that deliberately does not own a smartphone.
Yeah.
I don't own a smartphone.
I own a smartphone network, but I agree.
Here's the thing. My reason is the more your phone thinks for you, the less you think for yourself.
Yeah, GPS. And people can't read maps anymore.
No.
Right, exactly. And here's the diehard truth. Tell me somebody's actual phone number.
Besides my own?
Yeah. That anybody you call on a regular basis, tell me their phone number.
I can tell you my parents, but that's only because that's grandfathered
that
in from before.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All the phone numbers I know are grandfathered in from before I had a cell phone.
Nice. That's a fair point. Is that necessarily something we have to bemoan, though? I mean,
but that's just one example. Yeah.
People can't drive.
We got a cell phone and it remembers numbers for us. Now we don't know how to remember phone numbers.
Well, people don't know how to drive standard transmissions anymore either. Is automatic transmission destroying society?
You set an example. Smartphones tell you how to get home. Yeah. Now you don't know how to get anywhere.
Yeah.
Right. All right.
And that's why I thought her was.
So
I didn't want to touch my phone.
It's a dangerous line.
I didn't want to touch my phone.
I had a sort of surreal experience a few years ago. I was going to meet one of my friends for lunch somewhere. One of us had either lost or broken their phone. I forget who. But I got there on time, and he was late, and I was sitting there because we couldn't contact with each other. Did I get the right day? The right time?
Right.
Am I at the right place? Because I had no way of knowing at this point. It was kind of weird to go from always being able to contact someone
and not having it taken away.
And this actually brings up another project. There's an artist project called the Meet in the Middle Project.
Okay.
So basically, they're trying to get everybody to, hey, you're a friend, I'm a friend. You know, let's pick out the exact geographical middle location.
And
meet there.
Okay.
That's kind of cool.
Just to get people horribly, though.
And no, and here's the thing. They want you to leave your cell phones.
Yeah.
And they're like, this is the exact you meet there at a set time.
For what reason?
And, no, just to show you how connected you are.
Because
how people used to be, hey, I'll meet you here at noon.
Yeah.
We don't do that anymore. 5 minutes away.
Yeah. Here's my thing.
But we're harping on the negativity of these things.
Right,
there's
a positive
aspect.
There's a reason that people use their phone all the time.
It's awesome, because it's fun.
But here's my thing. Do you see how the premise of her got us talking on this conversation?
No, that's
that was
point.
That was my point where I
right.
thought it
fair
was...
Fair point.
It yeah. moved me so much. I didn't want to touch my cell phone for a week. I didn't want to get on Facebook.
I wanted to just hang out and not call my girlfriend. Did no one identify the religious undertones of gravity?
Wait.
There were?
I never actually saw gravity.
Well, there's like a, there's
because
a scene,
the marketing was so bad.
Well, there's a scene where they're going and, you know, they're floating around in space, George Clooney and Sandra Bullock's characters. And they have pretty much all but lost contact with ground, with mission control, with Earth. But he is still talking. And she's like, why are you still contacting them? She's like, We talk to them hoping that they're listening. No, there's no way that we can know that they're listening, but we hope that they do.
Yeah.
Later on, she is by herself, and she's talking about prayer, and she said that no one ever taught her how to pray. And then at the very end of the movie, when she is going into space, she is talking to Mission Control the same way George Clooney was, not knowing if Mission Control is actually listening or not. There were deep religious and spiritual undertones of that movie and the story that I thought pushed it over the edge of just being a special effects disaster movie.
So in a movie where it was hyped about special effects,
I think that was one thing that bugged me. The trailer was rather misleading.
Yes.
I thought one thing that bugged me so much about this movie, and they trimmed Sandra Bullock's hair so they could try to get around it, but her hair didn't move.
Yes,
that's a little detail, but. Every time I saw her in space with her hair fixed in place...
That's a suspension of disbelief thing.
Agreed.
It was enough of a detail to take me out.
Well, for her, I have to suspend my belief about about AI. About artificial intelligence, I have to suspend my belief to watch her.
But this is getting kind of philosophical about the way we view movies.
Of course it is.
When you go into a theater, you have to accept the premise, otherwise there's no point.
In 12 Years a Slave, because of its historical context, you didn't have to make that leap.
No, you didn't. That was pretty straightforward for real life.
So I think, but
unfortunately,
being that way, say,
as shitty as our country,
you have really no idea what movie was about. Yeah. Well, slavery.
I believe that we are getting better with each generation.
I hope so. I like to think so too.
So from the trailers and everything I got, it seemed like it was just a disaster. Stuff gone wrong in the space.
We should get off Oscars, but one more thing. How did everybody feel about animated Frozen 1?
I never saw it, but I hear that it's charming.
Ooh, yeah.
A little shitty that Hayao Miyazaki's final film didn't make it.
That's where I was going.
I haven't seen it, though, so I can't make an informed
opinion. How does this legend of animation not get the props over Frozen, which may be good, may be bad, is just another Disney movie.
This is
the nominees.
The Wind Rises by Hayao Miyazaki.
Yes.
Allegedly his last film that he's ever going to do. For those who don't know, he's the guy who made Princess Mononoke, Spirited Away. I haven't seen the actual movie, so I don't know if it was like his best stuff or not.
And
also, it's worth pointing out, it's not like he's never won it before.
It
would be a damn shame, if he never won.
I'll just say, how many animated movies that Disney made have won Oscars? This guy deserves to have it for his final, fling.
I haven't seen it, so I don't know.
Didn't he win, five years in a row?
Are you saying that guy deserves more of a Lifetime Achievement Award?
Yeah. Possibly.
Oh, he's not dead. He's just not making movies.
They give Lifetime Achievement Awards to living people now.
Yeah. And who knows? Maybe a few years from now, they'll be like, hey, I had a good idea for a movie. I'm going to make it.
Let's hope so.
I will say, though, Hayao Miyazaki's movies, at least Spirited Away, I know, won some awards.
It won the Best Picture, Best Animated.
But there was no Pixar movie out that year, damn it.
Howl's Moving Castle
won. Howl's Moving Castle
won. Here's one thing.
I'm just saying, the Academy Awards loves American movies a whole lot more than they love.
There's one question I want to put out to the group.
Yes, cultural bias was, that's what I felt anyway. That's what I was getting at.
Recently, with it, Django Unchained that came out
years
ago.
It came out last year.
The D is silent.
Django.
He actually says the D is silent in the
trailer. In the trailer,
that got a lot of hype.
Yes.
Because the use
Tarantino.
Yes, because the use
Tarantino. Of course, it deserves hype. It's Tarantino.
Use of the N word.
Yes.
And it was also about slavery.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah.
How much of that kind of hype do you think 12 Years a Slave got?
Nowhere
near. Do you think any of it was political?
Yes.
Oh.
Because, my buddy.
I really think.
My buddy.
Ellen DeGeneres made the jokes, and unless you guys are racist, 12 Years a Slave wins Best Picture. She said that in her opening monologue.
Yes, it was.
That's a good point.
Tell me, the Academy, who's a bunch of middle-aged, large white men, how are they not going to vote for that film without looking racist?
That's kind of an interesting thing to talk about, kind of a difficult thing to talk about. Is it cheating to make movies, books, whatever, about things like the Holocaust, about things like slavery?
I'm not sure it's cheating.
Would you feel guilty for not heaping awards on these things?
Though, I don't know if it's... That's a good aspect, though, but I don't think it's cheating making those movies. I think those are important movies that should be told. Schindler's List.
Schindler's List.
12 Years
of Slave.
Lincoln. Those movies need to be told.
Also.
But yeah, they've changed the Academy voting. There's like 60,000 members of the Academy who get to vote this past.
And what is it, like 80% of them are all 50s through 60s middle-aged white men?
Yeah.
How are you not going to seem racist in the Academy if you did not vote for 12
years? It's weird. It's weird.
I would love to see the demographic of the voting on that movie.
And what does winning an Academy
award... Jesse is finally talking about it.
I know. Yeah.
I mean, technically, on the thing of like social justice stuff like that, technically someone is not racist for just saying that, hey, this movie was good and informative, it's an important thing, but I think overall this was a better movie. I mean, that's me saying,
I didn't agree, but I'm sure
Maya Angelou book as much as, say, other book.
But
that's
when you're
like
comparing them in the same show, in the same category, same award show, same category.
Yes.
then I think you can, if I had Maya Angelou and, you know, other series of books to say, no, pick your favorite one and tell me why.
Right.
You're going to be like, oh, well.
What do you think the backlash would have been if 12 Years a Slave didn't win?
I don't know.
I'm not sure.
We don't know.
Honestly,
we'll never know.
But I don't think I don't think there would have been any.
Well, and here's
the thing. I don't think you can take anything away from the movie. I think you can add to it by giving it the Academy Award. I'm saying the Academy voters.
Yes.
I don't think you could take anything away from 12 Years a Slave by voting in Gravity or Her as your favorite best picture or whatever. But you do add quite a bit to the movie if it does win the Academy Award. And that's what I was going to say. What does winning the Academy Award actually do for a movie? Do people go and see? Well, people can just say, "Oh, Academy Award winning movie."
Well,
and you change the commercial. It changes the commercial.
It changes
the DVD box office.
I had wanted to go see Frozen at some point when it was out. I never did. Now that it's won the Best Picture, hey, I guess I have a renewed interest in seeing it.
Well,
and
yeah,
it's still playing. That's the thing.
It's on DVD too.
It's coming out on DVD. Like
maybe
this
I should go see.
Well, this week I think it came out Tuesday.
Really? I thought it was coming out like next week.
Possibly, but. It's available on Vudu.
Gomer, shut up. Steve is talking.
Sales. Now, that's the only thing the Academy Awards does. Same thing with the Oscars and everything else. It improves after major showing sales for DVDs, VHS. In the old days, the Academy Awards.
Oh, it needed that.
Meant something.
Yeah, nowadays it doesn't matter. Captain America is going to beat every damn Oscar movie.
Exactly.
In the box office.
It's not going to help.
There's still the philosophical prestige about it, though.
But it's still.
But
not
whose prestige is
it?
It's just the prestige in Hollywood.
Maybe not, but maybe some people do make these movies wanting to make an artful thing as opposed to making.
Of course, but again, isn't it just
them circle jerking? The way most of these smaller films get made is stars or directors or screenplay writers.
Yeah.
They make the big movie, the Marvel movies.
For the awards.
Yes. That make the big money that funds the smaller films.
Yeah. Agreed with you.
To keep it in art. Also, for the just FYI, Frozen is still in the top 10 in box office.
Yes.
It's about to come on DVD. Yeah. It still brought in $3.6 million last week.
Just last week. That's at number five, I mean, I think, on the list.
Yeah. It's at number eight like on
November.
The
yeah.
list.
Really?
Yeah,
really? It's been out since November.
It's done almost $400 million, which...
Just domestically, right?
Domestically.
Just domestically.
So
I heard it was approaching $1 billion worldwide.
Yeah, that's after 15 weeks. So it's got to have some mass appeal. Now, of course, it's a Disney movie.
Didn't we already establish that
mass
appeal does not translate to winning awards?
No.
Or Gravity would have won because it had the bigger box office of all the
Speaking
best pictures.
Of Frozen, though, are we going to talk about John Travolta getting a Dina himself?
I don't think so.
I mean, everyone's talked about it already.
I love
it's
John
funny.
Travolta.
You can love him, but who cares about
Grease?
Him as a presenter?
Oh, yeah, no, I don't
care. Oh, yeah, Grease. I love Grease.
He was pointing his
eyes. I sing along with all the.
I heard that he's dyslexic. I don't know if that's true.
No, but Scientology cured that, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, Scientology's supposed to cure all
the. Oh, no, we're going to get sued now, guys.
Oh, no.
Okay, now you're joking. But if anyone actually listens to this, there's a good chance we would be.
Whoops!
Yeah. They're pretty litigious.
Oh, I know.
So we're going to retract that statement for the record.
No, that's free on the stage.
You can't see it right now, but we're also beating the shit out of Jesse right now.
No, we're just
going
to say
I'm going to ICU.
All the opinions are the opinions of those who are saying them.
Yes,
not
of the body
of
the whole.
You are under the bus.
They've got free of a speech.
Well, we can move from Academy Awards to a movie that will never win an award.
Is
Transformers 4.
The full trailer.
That
trailer
is awesome.
There we go.
That
was. It looks awesome.
Now, the idea of Wahlberg's character finding Optimus Prime seems like it shouldn't make sense, but it looks incredibly cool.
Yeah, but did you see that Optimus Prime changed
the old school?
The classic.
The classic Mack truck. Yeah, dude. Flat front.
Good for that.
I agree.
Good for that. I did. I teared up a little bit.
Get back
here. I saw him become the Mack truck. I was like,
it also seems.
Oh, I bet he has a magically appearing trailer now. That'd
oh yeah, yes, and the little scooter will come out the back.
Well, hey, you know, and
Roller's cool.
Roller,
roller, from Roller, man.
But I also it
Roller's
seemed,
a tough little Autobot.
Yeah, yeah. That's right.
Everybody forgets.
I want Galvatron to be in the movie and turn into a handheld gun. I want the ridiculous.
They will not do that.
The Dinobots are villains in this movie.
Yes. I think the Dinobots are the villains. I think they're a human creation. I think they created it because
no.
you know
yeah.
we
maybe
we can't.
I don't think.
can't rely on the Autobots to help us save us from the Decepticons.
Yeah, that's what
we
need
our own.
If you watch the trailer, there's a scene where Bumblebee transforms, and there's another robot that looks like Bumblebee.
Yes.
And then somebody says, "We don't need you anymore. The age of the Transformers is over."
Yes.
And what I think it is basically they've taken Transformer technology and they've reverse engineered it to create.
Yeah. Man-made. Because they sort of allude in the trailer that everybody knows that the Transformers, they have a sign that says, "Remember Chicago.
Remember Chicago, report alien activity."
Yeah, and then he finds it and says, "I think I found a Transformer." I was like, "How the fuck do you know about Transformers, Mr. Wahlberg?"
Yeah.
Well, obviously everybody knows.
Well, even in the Generation 1 cartoon, everybody knew about Transformers, Autobots,
from
Decepticons.
All those good vibrations.
Yes.
When the Decepticons attack, somebody gets on a radio, "Autobots, come and help us, Decepticons, they're attacking!"
Yeah.
I love that cartoon.
Right. Yeah. So, Optimus Prime, how's your mother?
My mother is dead.
Yeah. Oh, sorry to hear that.
My father merged with Vector Sigma.
Oh, that's interesting. That's Mark
Wahlberg. So, awkward segue. A lot of new number ones coming out, at least a handful. Yes, on comics. Larry brought up comics.
I know. Woo! Exciting.
And let me say, I hate the way Loki looks.
Young Loki.
That Loki Agent Mask. That I just hate that art. The cover bugs me.
Yeah.
It makes me want to just...
Here's what I'm going to tell you, Larry. The way you treat good writing and bad acting, I treat bad art and good writing.
Yeah.
Especially if you're a comic book reader from the 90s, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Well, Sandman, one of the best things ever.
Yeah.
The art's not bad, but that's not why you read
it. That's not what you read. Good story. That's what
you over. In the 90s, you got one or the other most of the time.
Yeah, it was like
really
great
art or really good writing. But you rarely got both.
I would be more compelled to read that book if it was a blank cover that just said Loki number 2.
If it was a novel, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, if they had no cover art.
Yeah. So here's my thing about, and
I think he's hot. I think he's cute.
Yeah,
Gilmer thinks Loki's hot.
I do. I think Loki is hot.
It does look vaguely like a romance novel cover.
It does.
The inside art,
it makes me look.
The inside art is better than the cover. It's the different artist. Nine times out of 10, you'll find out.
That's usually the case. Okay, like other book I have here. That looks absolutely nothing like the interior.
But I like
Kevin Wada's covers for She-Hulk.
It reminds me of like All Red.
It does. The emotion right there.
That cover definitely looks like, you know, somebody is going to get asked out to the prom.
Yeah.
You know.
I know it's not Phil Noto. Who's doing the
cover? Yeah, Loki.
For
like the maid is going to sleep with the man in the house.
Follow him on Tumblr.
Yeah. It was like quarterback's going to sleep with the cheerleader.
It's
all going to be all over
Kevin
Wada.
Yeah, Kevin Wada.
Kevin Wada, She-Hulk.
He was actually one of the few like internet artists that got famous because he did this like.
Well,
he's into fashion, and he did a cover or a piece of all the X-Men girls in different dresses. And somebody at Marvel saw it on the internet, and they're like.
Frishing?
He should do covers for us. He maybe can't be relied for
you should look
full interior art, but he does really awesome art. And
I
so
think he looks fine.
Charles Soleil like contacted him to do the She-Hulk covers.
But
has anybody checked out Magneto?
That's great.
Haven't checked it out yet.
That's a wait and see book for me.
What? Gomer, you're picking it up, aren't you?
On Magneto? Yeah, I'm picking it up. I'm not very confident.
That's what I was like with She-Hulk.
But I love the character.
Yeah.
The prelude to it that was in Uncanny X-Men 2 issues ago was amazingly good.
If Bendis wrote it, I would be sold on it.
Yeah, if Bendis wrote it, it'd be 100% good. It's like 85 right now, maybe a little less, just because Colin Bunn's in there. I'm hoping it turns out good.
Moon Knight
was fantastic.
Moon Knight looks like it could be pretty good.
No,
I mean, that's another one. The cover looks like it's a Sailor Moon.
Oh, it's worth picking up.
Sailor Moon Knight.
Sailor Moon Knight. That's a table flip.
Love it.
But anyway, so Moon Knight, this run of Moon Knight is, we're getting a different side of Moon Knight. Not as much the crazy Moon Knight that you got in the last arc that he had. We're getting actually like more of a detective Moon Knight, which is like
Batman
Moon
Knight.
Yeah, it's pretty much Batman Moon Knight. It's killer, a lot of detective
work.
So
it's not Dark Knight,
it's
the Moon Knight.
Yeah. It's like
that's awful.
It's very like him crime scene oriented,
like
being
like,
logical progression. And there's still a bit of crazy in there. So I mean,
I'm sure that we'll have more about this on Weekly Rex.
Also, Wolverine the X-Men issue 1. Yeah, Jason Aaron has left the title.
Sad day. I love the run though.
The writer,
42 issues of that book was awesome.
The writer, who was actually an artist, typically
Jason Latour,
who worked with Jason Aaron on various, like, they've been friends for years together. Yeah. He handpicked Jason Latour to overtake this title. Yep. Jason Latour was handing him sketches of what he thinks the character should look like now in the reboot, and Jason Aaron was like, why don't you just write it? And he was
brilliant.
Like, so,
and the artist on that book is
Muhammad Asar.
Mahmoud. Asrad.
He used
to be Phoenix, now Marvel's got him.
And if you haven't read Dynamo 5, that was sort of his claim to fame, was doing the art for Dynamo 5.
Yes.
I was a huge fan of the title.
Yeah.
I still have all of those Christian's issues.
Also, She-Hulk number 2 dropped today.
Charles Soule does no wrong.
I didn't pick that up the first week. That was another one of my wait and see books.
Yeah.
Ray Reviews picked up the first one. Holy shit, this is awesome.
It's awesome.
It is.
It's She-Hulk being a lawyer.
It's completely different.
Would you say holy shit, it was that good?
Holy She-Hulk, I think.
I think I said holy She-Hulk.
No, I was asking you, would you say holy shit?
No, I would say holy She-Hulk.
You scared him.
It was wonderful.
I saw his eyes open. I'm like, oh, did I see?
I'm going to hell.
No, I said holy She-Hulk. It was wonderful. It was literally...
And it's just
as far as the lawyer titles... Marvel has attempted before.
Not even the first.
That's a very thin category that you're putting in here. Of all of Marvel's many lawyer books.
No. Other than
Daredevil is the only lawyer.
It did something Daredevil has never done.
Oh my god,
actual lawyer battle.
It never occurred to me before, but Daredevil and She-Hulk should totally start a law firm.
Didn't
they have a talk about that in the last FF?
When is that?
She-Hulk was in that FF. They met Daredevil and said we should do something.
I would love to see that.
Yeah.
She-Hulk and Daredevil come
team up. It was one of the few Matt Fraction things that he did.
The problem with that would be, I mean, everyone knows that Murdoch is Daredevil, pretty much, but he's still trying to kind of deny
it. But everybody knows She-Hulk is She-Hulk.
But see, if they were together, if it was She-Hulk and Murdoch, you know, the problem is then they
let's be perfectly honest, Daredevil is at the point where everyone knows that he's Daredevil, so it's the point that you can't legally prove it.
And he's going to court about it.
It's not making it any worse by partnering up with She-Hulk. It's like, what, we're both lawyers, what's wrong with that?
Yeah.
And Daredevil's whole shtick was he was like the counselor for superheroes.
Yes.
Yep. Right?
Yeah.
So it would definitely work.
I think it's a phenomenal
awesome
title.
Daredevil and She-Hulk.
Written
by Jason Aaron.
Also, New Warriors issue 2 came out today.
Maybe you could have Daredevil sue She-Hulk.
No, but She-Hulk takes on Tony Stark in the first issue, and it was awesome.
Yeah, it was cool.
It was, you get to see her Hulk out and freak Tony Stark out.
Tony Stark out because Tony wasn't there until the very end. He's like, oh, hey, Jen,
you
slipped
the robot on
me?
He's been going through so much hell. She's having to go through his legal department and his holograms and his robot.
So good.
And then, like, she comes in, like, Tony's like, whoa, what happened to you?
Yeah. And he's like, oh, you went through the lawyer department.
I would totally believe
it. He should have just called my cell phone or something.
It's so believable that Tony Stark would have this dude just hanging out.
Like,
his law,
Tony's like, I don't care.
And I love that Tony even makes the comments like, oh yeah, they're vultures down there. You really
I hate those guys, but they're good at their jobs.
They're good at their jobs. Keep me out of trouble.
And that lawyer, he's got like that one line where it's like four different bubbles, and every bubble's filled with more and more legal jargon.
Yeah. It's awesome. It was awesome.
Great book. Pick that up.
Yeah, written by an actual lawyer. So.
Yeah,
Charles Soule's an actual lawyer. He's blown it up on Thunderbolts.
Yes.
His Superman Wonder Woman is awesome.
The art's kind of getting me off of that one.
Though.
Yeah. Because
the cartoony Sandoval is
on
it
what?
On Superman Wonder Woman.
Thanos Daniel.
Yeah,
I thought you were talking about Thunderbolts.
Like, I just remember there was an issue of Superman Wonder Woman where I'm like reading through and like they're fighting Doomsday, and then like I turn the page, Doomsday's gone. I was like, when did that happen? Did I miss something? And like that's not like it's good line work, but not necessarily good panel layout, page layout. It's like
the design.
It's not working with the story. That's kind of hard to describe.
I hear.
There's
he draws Wonder Woman so hot.
Yeah.
In it, though.
I will say there's another
fine in that
number
book.
Two. I'm
you
really
clearly you have your
to.
Priorities in order.
Hey, is New Warriors
it for
issue
the art,
two.
Man?
I'm looking for it.
New Warriors. New Warriors awesome. Number one was a sort of a throwback of Marvel Comics.
That's kind of what Chris Yost is like niche.
Yeah.
Like if you read
his
Chris Yost.
We were having this conversation earlier where we don't know how you actually say any of these guys.
Yeah, Charles
Soule. I always thought it was Yost. I
heard Charles Soule was Soule.
Yeah, you were saying Soleil. Like, I thought it was Soul. I don't know.
Like Robert
I don't either.
They know who we're talking about.
But all I know
Chris
is
Yost, Yost.
Chris Yost, Yost.
Go ahead.
Yeast. I love the first. It was a perfect throwback to how teams used to work.
Yes.
Where they're not a team in the first issue.
Yeah.
They're all doing their
and
own thing.
And they come together.
And there was more to it than just that.
But there was, no, it wasn't even that. They're probably still not even going to be close to each other in this issue.
The interactions between the characters
are so far apart.
Old,
it was
so
awesome.
Good. It was a really good issue.
It was a. It was. It was.
The
a
art
solid.
Was solid, but.
I love
the
Speedball just messing everything up and attacking a different team because they looked menacing.
Yeah.
Speaking of teams, S.H.I.E.L.D. did come back on the air last night.
I didn't catch it.
I saw
thought it was a really good episode.
Spoil it. I won't spoil it. Okay. Someone who did see it, I need to talk to you afterwards because there was something in there and I feel kind of lame, but I guess my nerd foo is weak on this one. I didn't recognize who this character was supposed to be.
Uh-oh. I saw that it was coming back and the title of it was called Tahiti.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A magical like, place.
Yeah, they are starting to get into more.
Tahiti has like an abbreviation.
Yeah, yes. Tahiti is abbreviation.
There was so a pretty that, big bomb they dropped on this one.
But I mean, no,
I
honestly,
yeah, I gotta go back and,
yeah.
and watch.
I gotta watch all
of
I lost interest around 7 or 8, I think, and this is what 14.
Yeah.
Oh, then you missed because that's when the show picked up.
Yeah.
It started to get good, but it just wasn't quite enough. It was getting better.
Yeah.
It just wasn't enough to keep me entertaining.
The show really picked up.
Yeah. Joss Whedon, we can go back to 12 Years
of
Slave.
Oh, we are starting.
That was my favorite part of 12 Years of
Slave. Finally starting. Well, real quick, we are starting to pick up on connectivity. Yeah, Sith
oh,
is going.
Thor, yes.
Sith is going to be on the episode next week. Minor spoiler, a Thor character shows up at the end of this episode
and
leads into next week.
Nice.
A Thor villain.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Well, they've been advertising.
Very cool.
You didn't, I was like, you would have just said
villain?
Sith, they've been advertising for weeks, but this week, right. As far as I know, was the first time they revealed who
Thor
she's
villains?
Fighting.
There's a lot of Thor
okay,
villains.
So far we've got...
Full pantheon of Thor villains.
Yeah, Thor's got some of the better villains, too, because, like, he's fighting fire demons and frost giants and all sorts of awesome things
like
that.
I just mean, like, what named... character I mean, could they possibly have thrown in at the
well,
end.
It wasn't obviously, Surtur, because that would totally
Loki.
Fuck
yeah,
up.
Yeah, and obviously it's not going to be Loki or Malekith, because they've
and
done that.
The
they're not going to do that too
I
soon.
I think those would be the two biggies if you were to name
I mean, there's,
Thor villains.
There's a lot of...
would be nice.
Who?
Grey Gargoyle.
Oh, yeah, that'd be cool. Yeah. That'd be cool.
The Absorbing Man.
Enchantress.
I'm just not sure if it works. Hey, man, the Absorbing Man is awesome.
Well, I just mentioned Surtur, who's like super badass.
Yeah. It's a fine line.
But they got their powers.
You're right.
Classic Loki.
That's
these days, because of the movies and because of the recent comic Loki.
Him.
Yeah, he's like everyone loves
but,
Loki.
Yes,
now.
But like,
he was
a kid,
such
I
a,
hated him.
Loki was
wish. Who did
old school Silver Age Loki is a colossal douchebag.
Yes,
yeah, he really is.
Yeah,
no redeeming quality.
Really. Yeah, there's no lovable like.
And
trickster,
you know what?
There's a trickster side, but it's not that just like, oh, you trickster, you. It's more like, I hate you, and I'm going to smash you with a hammer right
now.
Now
he's like a Shakespearean-esque tragic villain in movies, and he's like a lovable
scamp. All of a sudden, he's freaking Iago from Othello, and I don't understand where everyone...
Yeah.
My whole thing with Loki is, the closest in the comic books up until, I'd say, the last 2 years, I got to this lovable scamp was the Straczynski run.
Yes.
Where you're like, oh...
That
was
a
girl now.
He wasn't too scamped. Like,
no.
He was kind of
she
an
was,
asshole
was,
in that
she
one.
She was
too.
Dark and sinister.
But then
in
you
my
find
opinion.
Out he has Sif's body.
Yeah.
And he's actually a dirty, awful, unfortunate person that he's being to Thor and Baldur, who he let die.
Yeah.
I was like, wow. There's nothing redeemable about him.
I love
there's
J. Michael
nothing Straczynski.
Close. I love that run of
that run.
Straczynski's run on Thor was great.
It got canceled early. I thought it was a shame because Straczynski had a big plan for that book, and they wanted
him
to write events.
So
well, Kieran Gillen came in on afterwards.
No,
he had
no.
the thankless
Fraction
job
before,
Fraction.
And then Kieran Gillen.
No,
he's right.
Kieran Gillen was on there for a very brief interlude.
Very brief.
He had the thankless job. He had to wrap up loose ends from Straczynski's run, and then he had to tie it into Siege. And then he finally got to do something on his own.
And then they're like, "Nope, we're giving it to Fraction." That was bad.
The one where he did on his own was much better than anything I read in Fraction's run. To be honest,
well, they splintered it too.
Yeah,
because he did everybody else in Fraction did Thor.
What was it? Tales to Astonish. Kieran Gillen got to write.
He did. Gillen got into Journey into Mystery.
Yes, that's what it was.
The book was about Loki, and it was awesome.
Yes,
and I think I ever got to read that.
It was great. Kieran Gillen had his fingers on the pulse of that character better than most writer character combos in a long time.
He made Sif really awesome, and brought Beta Ray Bill back to the Pantheon. Which is a character that had not been touched enough.
And he's great.
Dude, the last issue of Nova was awesome. I was about to drop that book, I'm going to be completely honest.
Wait, Beta Ray Bill's in?
Beta Ray Bill's in the last issue, and it was...
It's a build-up to Original Sin is all it is.
But I don't care if it has Beta Ray Bill in it. I don't get to see enough of him.
What happened the last issue was...
That's a good point.
Nova got roped into helping this guy out. Thought he was doing some good. Turns out he was going to attack Beta Ray Bill's homeworld.
He was tricked.
Nova was tricked
by these guys.
And so Beta Ray Bill came in.
He is like, you know.
Yeah, he's Peter Parker.
He's like 9.
16.
Classic Loki.
Classic Loki. So Beta Ray Bill comes and lays down the hammer on Nova and is like, dude, how did, you know, you do a serious disservice to the Nova Corps. The fact that you're the last Nova is embarrassing.
Yeah. I wouldn't want to fight Beta Ray Bill. He's like Thor class.
Dude.
Yeah.
And it was an awesome fight. It was really well done. At one point, he drops the hammer on Nova and is monologuing in classic Beta Ray Bill form. And he's like, well, I guess I'm not going to do this. So Nova starts destroying the ground below him and lets the hammer just fall. And he's like, now I'm going to pay. Where did you go? And Nova actually got the upper hand on Beta Ray Bill.
Yep, there was a good fight between Thor and Red Hulk one time. Where, like, he catches the hammer, Thor's just like...
Get up in the orbit.
But,
no, that was stupid. I'm talking about the one where it's like Red Hulk's like redemption arc or whatever. He gets his ass kicked by Iron Man. He gets his ass kicked by Thor. Yeah. He gets his ass kicked by like the Watcher even.
Yeah. That's the only way you can really redeem yourself is first by getting your ass kicked by
all the Avengers. It's like, it was awesome. Thor had put him on the team.
Thor had a great line when he was fighting him.
So you have to be bizarre initiation.
Yeah, you got to be beat into the Avengers.
Thor just
loves like a gang.
Yeah.
I was thinking fraternity, really, but yeah, sure, gangs work.
It was really funny when like Thor beat him up. Like the idea was he was supposed to be working with him on a mission assigned by Steve Rogers, and like, and I was like, "Hey, stop fighting me, and I'll kick your ass." And Thor just like gives him a look. He's like, "I'm not the god of reason and understanding, asswipe. I'm the god of thunder and lightning." And it's like, and then like he, the premise was that Thor was like the Red Hulk and like attacked him just like on instinct. But then like he reveals after the fight, I knew I wasn't supposed to fight him.
That's awesome.
That's payback.
Yeah.
I just really don't like that guy.
You want to talk more new comics?
Speaking of, on the subject of Loki, you mentioned the God of Thunder and Lightning. Loki is supposed to be the god of mischief and mayhem.
Yes.
Eventually the god of evil, at least according to the
comics. I mean, essentially, in Greek mythology, Greek mythology, he's the equivalent of Dionysus.
Very well. Yes, very right.
And,
every culture has that trickster character.
Yes, exactly.
It's more like Coyote now,
but I mean, if you were to compare him to his place in...
Norse mythology.
Yeah.
Other pantheons.
Other pantheons.
Mythologies or mythos.
Don't get those mixed up religions.
Current
religions get a little pissed off when you bring Norse and Greek as actual religions.
Okay, well, but then, I mean, he pretty much was the devil of that time.
Exactly.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. He shouldn't be a nice guy.
He's not a nice guy, no, and he wasn't in mythology. He wasn't like the incarnation of evil.
No.
He's still supposed to bring Ragnarok because he wasn't born. He is technically.
He went questing
the end
with Thor. It's not like.
In Norse mythology, Loki was like an ogre or something.
Giant.
No, he's a frost giant.
Who was the one that tricked Thor into drinking the cup? That basically was like...
Probably Loki, but I don't recognize that.
That's classic Loki.
The hammer was a hammer. It was supposed to be more, and Loki tricked the guy making the hammer to stop early.
Yeah.
And the dwarf, and it ended up being a hammer instead of like an axe.
It just made the handle was shorter.
It ended up being shorter, that's what it is.
The haft, the handle, is shorter than what it's supposed to be. Also, in Norse mythology, Thor does not only have Mjolnir... He has the belt of strength and two gauntlets.
Yep.
Yeah.
To help him actually be strong.
And two sons.
In time, he has sons, Modai and Magni.
Yep.
And
they don't get into that in Marvel. It's a lot. It's
was that it's strange.
If they did that in Marvel, they'd have to. That'd be Ragnarok. A whole lot of yes, character lines.
There'd be as many Thor books as there are Avengers right. books. And that's not a bad thing.
No,
but
not at all.
Aaron Lord could write.
Also, he couldn't have romance with Jane Foster because yes. like he theoretically would have been married to Kit.
But yeah. then again, the thing about a lot of older mythologies is that there is
all
not,
mythologies are older.
Yeah, but I mean now I.
What are comics but the modern mythology?
Boom. Anyway, okay. Bam. Great. Sorry. But so the thing with mythology in general is well, at least Norse and a lot of the more ancient mythology.
Greek, Aztec,
like there wasn't as much a definitive evil in some of them. It was more of like there was gods who kind of were one way or the other, but it embodied
there wasn't
more
a straight black and white.
Yeah,
most
of the
bad
guys were bad. Most of the good guys were colossal assholes.
Yeah, I mean, take Zeus. I mean, for one, he is a womanizer. He is a total dick.
He's got so many, unfortunately.
Zeus was a dick.
He's like, well, okay, you look at Greek and Roman mythology, the place that women took,
except
for Athena. Athena was awesome.
There's three cultures I wouldn't want to be a woman in. And it's Middle Eastern, Greek, or Roman. Just saying. Yeah.
Well, that took an awkward turn real fast.
It did.
It got quiet.
But then, I mean, there's Valkyries, which are awesome. Like, you know,
have we hit the time limit yet?
Yeah.
Not quite. We're about 45, 46
minutes. There's plenty of redeeming female characters from, you know, Greek and Roman mythology, but... Yeah, I agree with you. And I like the aspect of those old mythologies that... Or is it mythologies?
my next question is...
That, well,
maybe
hold on.
It's myology.
Myologies. That
are they
it wasn't
as, well?
As black and white as our more modern, even though they're all 2,000 years old, as our more modern, you know, religions. There was no real good and evil. Sure, these guys did good and evil things, but there was always a reasoning behind it. And,
right. And there was
a nature. Thorough, there was a nature.
There was a balance.
And how about a random awkward segue?
Do it.
All right. So
wait, wait, I got one more statement.
Yeah, let Jules have
for,
one
for
more...
Why can't we get a Wonder Woman movie?
Talk? I know, right?
I mean, who cares about Jules?
I know, but
he can't cuss right now, so we don't want to
hear it. No, Wonder Woman has some issues.
We have two Thor movies.
Why can't we do one? The big issue Wonder Woman has is she can't do the costume right because she'd look like a porn star.
Yeah, it's hard.
Give her pants.
They should give her pants. They should. They totally should.
Someone give her a pair.
Then the fanboys would flip out and they'd like be all ready to go. They shouldn't, but they would.
It's hard to not over-sexualize Wonder Woman. Woman and still have her be the strong, powerful female character that she needs to be. It's
in
a difficult 70s, thing.
In the 70s, she wore pants. One piece.
Yes, she
and
did.
And a skirt. I like the skirt.
Well, she did.
Yeah, but in the 70s, a one piece was the equivalent to a modern day bikini.
He's right.
But, right. Here's my whole thing, too.
So you could do the movie.
I agree with you.
In the original solicitation for the new 52,
Jean
Lee... He put pants on her.
Jeans, pretty much jeans.
And, and he had already drawn
people,
the first
jeggings.
Five
people
issues with her in pants.
Their shit. And he had to erase them.
He had He had to go back the first five issues and redo it so it was skin, which is why if you look at those...
It looks weird. There's
it looks
lines
weird.
Someplace
yeah, there's
where
lines
there
on her
out.
Leg. It's because he drawn pants under her.
The color said the
why
color
can't
same.
She have
color the same as
I just
want
she should be able to wear pants, and it's kind of sad that people still flip their shit when well, it's historically speaking, female characters who wear pants don't seem to sell as well as
well. We could even
all I'm saying,
Black Widow has
Wonder Woman.
Okay, maybe
the
I should have said pants,
superhero.
But like female characters who aren't overtly sexualized do not seem to sell.
All I'm saying is Marvel Comics women in pants since 1960.
Yeah,
but Wonder Woman was conceived in bondage.
Yes.
That's
there's what. A lot of bondage in that
and
area.
They take
a lot of bondage
the hot
now
costumes
with Wonder Woman
for the girls the in comics time. To sell to the fans.
But you know what I'm saying is Sue Storm has always been
in a suit.
She had her own feminist issues when she started out in a big way.
Yeah.
She spent all her time like trying on wigs
and
makeup. And
be the mom.
Shit.
And she was really stereotyped as the
but
stereotypical
still,
mom.
And also she was like the designated damsel
now
in the dress.
Also
the most powerful character.
Other female listener.
we are saying that this sucks. We're not saying this is a good thing. We're saying it's something that needs to change. This is.
I
awesome.
Would love to see a Wonder Woman movie. No matter how they do it. Because I'm not one of those... overbearing fanboys who's going
to
give a shit
no,
about her pants.
Without,
give me a break.
Right, I didn't... Yeah.
At some point, the fanboys are going to be pissed off no matter what
you
do.
Exactly.
You've got to bite the bullet
you
at some point.
You hear fanboys bitching about the Batman
the
trilogy,
pants
and
was, they're all
arguably the best
everything they wear looks like spandex.
Yeah.
It didn't actually look like it. Might as well have been spandex.
If you're an adventurer, though, right, it's okay spandex. To wear spandex.
I'd like to see a superhero on cargos or something.
No,
you're going to get caught on stuff. Yeah. Someone would drag it and pants you or something.
It's like the Invincibles in capes.
Yeah.
Yeah. No capes.
That's the reason why. Don't wear the cape because you get jerked by it.
Yeah, or even, I mean, bring it back to Watchmen. Watchmen, like, I mean, one of the heroes dies because he gets caught in a. A revolving door because he's wearing a
dollar bill. In Watchmen,
Dollar Bill gets killed.
Yeah, Dollar Bill gets
his cape gets caught in a revolving door.
Yeah, like Marvel doesn't have a lot of capes except for Thor, do they?
Thor and Hyperion.
Hyperion's
a Superman ripoff.
Yeah.
What about Doctor Strange?
And Sentry has
Doctor Strange.
Sentry was a Superman knock.
And not only that, it's a cloak and it serves a purpose.
Yeah,
that's how he can fly.
His freaking cloak can like punch you in the face.
Yeah,
cloak is his own character.
Just wear.
Let's get back to the awkward segue.
Alright, awkward segue. I was gonna bring up
super awkward now.
Fascinating. I read in Science, they have figured out, and some people at MIT have figured out how to filter raw water,
sewage water,
contaminated water, through a tree.
Yep.
They figured
that
out
happens
that
happens anyway, though, doesn't it? Naturally.
Yeah, that's
groundbreaking science.
I mean, I'm just saying, science is
to hell with you, science.
Right.
Or has science like changed this tree genetically to make it
to not die after?
They've done tests and figured out that. If you were to take any sapling tree, you know, and various ones, you could actually use it, the pores, the veins that transfer the sap to filter E. coli and bacteria out of water.
Well, you can't be very thirsty, though. You can't be really thirsty, though, when you start
it. It does it at a rate about 4 liters a day.
Oh, well, that's enough to keep you alive.
But does it end up destroying the tree?
This is with a half-inch diameter, one-inch-long piece, run, you know, gravity feeding it through the top, and they're actually looking at ways to figure out how to do this to make water more drinkable in third world countries.
Awesome.
Now, this was brought to my attention through a Facebook page called
I think they say developing.
No, there's actually a difference between third world.
No, there's
they also
the difference between a third world is it's a definable term. There's first world, second world, third world.
Yeah.
All right, first world, we export more than we import. Third world, you're dependent on imports to survive for the basics.
Okay.
Yep. All right.
Or they're just not
second
even getting
second world
those
is you're even potentially self-sustaining.
Yes.
Usually what is termed a developing country.
Yes.
Like, okay. India.
And fourth world is a comic book that Jack Kirby wrote.
I don't know. It's
anybody
good.
Else?
What?
Fourth world.
Also,
fourth world is where the gods live.
Yeah, the new
on a less dramatic China, note, first of all, I fucking love science.com
well, so
has
China,
the full article.
Yeah. I wouldn't call China.
Guys, no one can understand what we're saying right now. We're talking over each other.
I fucking love science.com, MIT Press. You can read the full article there if you're interested. Also, The Walking Dead has really been pissing me off here lately.
You saw the last episode?
I did.
Do we have another hour for you to rant?
No,
let's not rant.
That's what we use the Weekly Dead for.
We'll keep it there.
But, yeah, I mean, are we...
Speaking
Cosmos
of,
is coming
yeah,
back?
Yeah, speaking of science, Cosmos is coming back. Carl Sagan's
Cosmos,
epic show is coming back with...
Without Carl Sagan.
My second favorite scientist in the world, second only to Michio Kaku, Neil deGrasse Tyson. Hosting.
Did you see like a couple of?
I can't wait.
I think it was like a week ago now. Awesome. Neil deGrasse Tyson and Bill Nye, the Science Guy, did a selfie with
Obama.
Apparently, that was his first ever release selfie, and that's a good one to release.
That's a good one. Good job, Obama.
I liked the Bill Nye picture that
thanks,
came
Obama.
In front
thanks,
of Jay-Z.
Thanks, Obama. That was much great.
Yeah, you can take epic selfies, but you
much
can't
better.
Stop
who's,
wars.
Yeah. Who's cool?
You got to be hard to go to the Creation Museum and defend evolution, man. You got to be hard.
Does anyone else watch that?
I watched. It was awesome.
I listened to
Bill
Nye.
I watched the whole thing live. It was awesome.
My main question is, Jules, remember your other debate for Get On Time? Because Larry had to go do his
epic job,
actually.
It was epic.
It wasn't a debate, though. It was more a lecture and some sort of...
Yeah. It was,
Ken Ham was just pitiful.
Bill Nye was throwing all these facts, and the other dude was like, magic! Duh! Magic!
That could be pretty well summed up in the, like, I think it was at the exchange maybe towards the end where it was like, what would convince you to change your mind? And Bill Nye's like, evidence.
Yeah,
and then Ken Ham was like, nothing can. It's in the Bible. So, okay, you obviously weren't having a debate then. This exactly. Was a complete waste of time.
Well, I mean, that's what all those are, though. I mean,
no one can prove God exists in us, in our sense. And no one can.
It wasn't a debate about God.
You can't say it wasn't the existence of God. It was the evolutionism.
Evolution is what they were debating.
Yes. You can believe in God and in evolution at the same time.
You
can
believe in both.
Wholeheartedly.
You believe in both.
Wholeheartedly.
I thought that's. I mean, but there's a
difference.
You can believe in both, but you cannot believe in the word for word depiction in Genesis.
Right.
And if
there are two depictions in Genesis, there's two separate creation stories.
Right. What? No, there's one creation story from the beginning.
Read it, man.
Read the Bible.
Also, if you read the Bible, one of the things that you get is God has a different sense of time. The sense of
God may have this, but it's not known because it's not in that book.
I'm not saying
the book says 7 days it was done. Science refutiates that. That's what the debate was about.
I agree with that. I'm not.
It wasn't about faith or religion. It was about a history. That's what the debate was about.
We're not talking about religion.
That's what I'm saying. We're not talking about religion.
So yeah, that's a big debate text. Or whatever. Yes. Yeah,
which is still religious.
So, it's technically a historical text, depending on who you talk to. Yeah.
It's both. It has a place in history.
I'm getting out of here, guys.
Of course it does. So because 2,000 years later, we still have people who take that book.
So it's a piece of history from that point of view.
Yes.
There's no debating that.
Yes.
Now, whether you take any merit from it or anything, that's not.
Okay.
My personal opinion, I believe in an intelligent design. Okay. That's whatever. That's, you know,
And Bill Nye at no point said that
he was wrong.
Well, a lot of people are debating the merit of the debate, saying that, Bill Nye is shitting on religion and this and that. And he really wasn't. He was just saying that you shouldn't shit on science just because this story that science came up with goes against this story that you believe. That's basically what his point was. You can say that,
everybody should have their own beliefs.
But not their own facts.
But
not their own facts.
Well, okay, let me get my finish.
No, of course. And I agree with you. Everybody should have their own beliefs.
Hold on. But that's not what they were talking about. Sentence for a second.
Okay.
Everybody should have their own beliefs, and it's okay to share it. The problem is when people force them on them.
I don't care if you believe in a rock.
You can't respect other people's beliefs.
Yeah.
So, as long as we can all respect each other's beliefs, and I can...
Yeah.
You know, and I love a good debate about it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But anything like that where you got a major science guy and a major... You know that was going to be a disaster. There was no point... That was one of those things. It's like saying, let's have Jerry Springer... That was the equivalent of watching a Jerry Springer episode.
Yeah, it was entertaining, but nothing really got done.
Expecting somebody to throw a chair at the end of
But
that.
Nothing really got done.
Conversation got a little too heavy for most of the table. Yeah. Most of us have now walked away.
I'm interested. I will talk to any of y'all about this for any length of time. But not on a podcast that is about comics and other nerd stuff.
Well, it's about science.
That's all I wanted to say about it. I thought it could have been done better.
The debate.
There's no real... I mean, it wasn't something to have a serious debate about it. That was not the forum to do it. It was just not...
Yeah.
Not done well.
It was great PR for both sides.
Exactly.
That's all it was. Yeah.
But I guess that wraps it up. Any final thoughts, guys?
Godzilla.
You already
Snickers
know.
Commercial.
Godzilla. The TV commercial bunny.
There you go.
Very good.
Very old school Godzilla.
Yes.
Unexpected marketing.
You want to know what happens when he doesn't eat a Snickers.
There you go.
There's been a lot of...
I'm like seeing Godzilla just like playing ping pong and having a
good time. How do you do it? Godzilla's great to be around, except when he gets hungry.
Getting more and more stoked for Guardians of the Galaxy movie.
I love the trailer.
Love a lot of going on with the Star Wars movie. A lot of new Star Wars movies.
A bunch of A-holes.
Hey, less than a month away from Cabin,
yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Less than
Star Lord.
What did you think about that trivia thing? Are you interested in that?
Oh, I didn't know how this machine works.
I'll get more info.
I think
it's all about rocket bricks
that plays in Indian Lake.
Yeah, it's right by the movie.
They're going to make the movie.
Anyone else think?
Ultimately,
I think us three would dominate.
Rocketing group.
Depending on how many
people have. Once he starts talking, you automatically.
This is Marvel Hardy right there.
What's the following? He's never been an Avenger. We got that.
Yeah.
And it's like, what
issue?
Yeah, what issue, blah, blah, blah.
I think we'd still be okay with
that. I got
that.
We do all right, but like, that's true.
Rocket pretty much says. Like,
but I don't think anybody else would be able to do that either.
No,
you know, so.
I got that, though. I think I know just about every major issue an Avenger comes in and leaves.
All right, mate. Good night, everybody.
See Chris out.
There's no surprise to anybody, not even his parents.
No. No? That's good.
Oh, I gotta get home.
I gotta get my house rebuilt.
that funny for that phone call with my dad saying, you know, I'm with your mother at the hospital right now.
Oh,
when she's having a test, so it's
okay, no big deal.
But he's like, can you run the bill?